10,050. She did not check the time, but later guessed it to be between 12:30 and 1 a.m. Hearing nothing further, Mrs. Cott went to sleep. About 3/4 of a mile directly south and downhill from 10,050 Cielo Drive, Tim Ireland was one of 5 counselors supervising an overnight campout for some 35 children at the Westlake School for Girls. The other counselors had gone to sleep, but Ireland had volunteered to stay up through the night. At approximately 12:40 a.m., he heard from what seemed a long distance away to the north or northeast a solitary male voice. The man was screaming, "Oh God, no, please don't. Oh God, no, don't, don't, don't." The scream lasted 10 to 15 seconds, then stopped. The abrupt silence, almost as chilling as the cry itself. Ireland quickly checked the camp, but all the children were asleep. He awoke his supervisor, Rich Sparks, who had bedded down inside the school, and telling him what he had heard, got his permission to drive around the area to see if anyone needed help. Ireland took a circuitous route from North Faring Road, where the school was located, south on Benedict Canyon Road to Sunset Boulevard, west to Beverly Glen, and northward back to the school. He observed nothing unusual, though he did hear a number of dogs barking. There were other sounds in the hours before dawn that Saturday. Emmett Steele, 9951 Beverly Grove Drive, was awakened by the barking of his 2 hunting dogs. The pair usually ignored ordinary sounds but went wild when they heard gunshots. Steele went out to look around, but finding nothing out of place, returned to bed. He estimated the time as between 2 and 3 a.m., Robert Bullington, an employee of the Bel Air Patrol, a private security force used by many of the homeowners in the affluent area, was parked in front of 2175 Summit Ridge Drive with his window down when he heard what sounded like 3 shots spaced a few seconds apart. Bullington called in. Eric Carlson, who was working the desk at patrol headquarters, logged the call at 4:11 a.m. Carlson, in turn, called the West Los Angeles Division of the Los Angeles Police Department, LAPD, and passed on the report. The officer who took the call remarked, "I hope we don't have a murder. We just had a woman screaming call in that area." Los Angeles Times delivery boy Steve Shannon heard nothing unusual when he pedaled his bike up Cielo Drive between 4:30 and 4:45 a.m., but as he put the paper in the mailbox of 10,050, he did notice what looked like a telephone wire hanging over the gate. He also observed, through the gate and some distance away, that the yellow bug light on the side of the garage was still on. Seymour Cott also noticed the light and the fallen wire when he went out to get his paper about 7:30 a.m. About 8 a.m., Winifred Chapman got off the bus at the intersection of Santa Monica and Canyon Drive. A light-skinned black in her mid-50s, Mrs. Chapman was the housekeeper at 10,050 Cielo, and she was upset because, thanks to L.A.'s terrible bus service, she was going to be late to work. Luck seemed with her, however. Just as she was about to look for a taxi, she saw a man she had once worked with, and he gave her a ride almost to the gate. She noticed the wire immediately, and it worried her. In front and the left of the gate, not hidden but not conspicuous either, was a metal pole on the top of which was the gate control mechanism. When the button was pushed, the gate swung open. There was a similar mechanism inside the grounds, both being positioned so a driver could reach the button without having to get out of the car. Because of the wire, Mrs. Chapman thought the electricity might be off, but when she pushed the button, the gate swung open. Taking the Times out of the mailbox, she walked hurriedly onto the property, noticing an unfamiliar automobile in the driveway, a white Rambler parked at an odd angle. But she passed it and several other cars nearer the garage without much thought. Overnight guests weren't that uncommon. Someone had left the outside light on all night, and she went to the switch at the corner of the garage and turned it off. At the end of the paved parking area was a flagstone walkway that made a half circle to the front door of the main house. She turned right before coming to the walk, however, going to the service porch entrance at